Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show. Look out the bright lights. Look out the bright lights. We'll with tonight's guest, actor and model Johan Erb. Look out the night sky. Look out the night sky. And musical guest, Kira Krishnarova. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We are already having fun in the studio because we've got all of us, and we've got two of our friends here. One, of course, Johan Erb, and the other, Kira Krishnarova. And it's interesting, the conversations that we've had leading up to the show, and then when we got to see each other again after so long. And interestingly enough, Mark, these conversations have been reminding me of bullying. Now that would seem the craziest thing to think about, but when we're looking at our show title, which is acting, modeling, and authentic living, and talking to Johan, actually before, when we talked amongst ourselves with Dorothy and trying to decide the guest for this a while back for this coming Monday, we talked about Johan, and immediately, I think it was you who brought it up, and Dorothy says, "Oh, what a great guy." And I said, "Yeah, I do. I remember him being a really nice guy." And I remembered that was the first thing. And so you acknowledged and said, "Yeah, he's a great guy." And you know, he's also just recently done this, this, and this, and he's been in the news, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, what a great guy to have on the show to talk about authentic living. So then, as the more we talked about this and the more we talked to Johan, I thought about bullying. I thought how, growing up, people that were bullies, we thought, were the people that had the most self-confidence, that felt the best about themselves, and they had the right, let's say, to pick on anybody else because they knew they were all perfect and all. And come to find out, growing up, learning about this subject matter, bullying, which is so much in the paper these days and it's so much talked about and is such an issue, come to find out, these are the people with the lowest self-esteem and the people who think the least about themselves.
They're just more proactive.
More proactive. yeah, little do they know, they're putting it out there. For those who know, they're putting it out there just how low their self-esteem is. And so, in the case of models and actors, usually they're the what we call the beautiful people, the A-listers. And because of their looks and because of they're always on television, people recognize them when they're on film and all that, they get invited to things, people stop them in the streets, people give them compliments all the time. So you would think these are also the people with the highest self-esteem, the highest self-worth, and the most confidence. And yet, you'll find so many actors and actresses and models mistreating other people. And you'd think, why do you need to do that? You already have so much more. But they don't, because a lot of them are missing something inside, which is the self-confidence, the self-esteem, the self-love.
Well, and it takes it so much further because most of them aren't prepared for what they were given in the way of that status or power or celebrity. And so that all of that power comes on top of a foundation which really has no strength to it.
Right.
No substance.
Which is perfect. And I know we're going to have to talk about that because in this case, our guest, Johan Erb, grew up in a really small country, Estonia. And we know Estonia. I knew it because of our guest and friend, Curly Coy, from years back. Actually, she was like the third person on our show, actually 5 or 6 years ago, whenever it was. And can't wait to have her back. But in the meantime, a lot of people don't know about that country, and it's a small country. But so our guest grew up there, and came to Hollywood, and we'll have him share the rest of the story. But the interesting thing is that here he is. He's considered one of the A-listers, one of the beautiful people. And what was the first thing we said about him? The coolest guy, the nicest guy. And so the interesting thing is getting to that, becoming the nice guy that he probably always was, but had to find himself through what you just said, Mark, makes for a fascinating story.
Indeed.
We're going to get to hear that when we come back, right from Johann's mouth himself, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and our guest is Johann Erb. I love how we say that in America. We say Erb like it's H-E-R-B, but it's not. It's probably Urb, U-R-B, but because we say that in America, Erb it is. Johann has been known for so many roles and so many shows that people love, like NCIS, Californication, Strictly Sexual, the series on TV, Eastwick. We could go on and on. He's had returning roles on Dirt and The Mountain TV series, Zoolander. CSI, we'll let him talk about which ones I've missed. But in the meantime, can't wait to bring him on. Thank you, Johann, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What's that smile?
Why not smile?
Well, a good answer, but I know there's something behind it all of a sudden. What did I say?
No, it's just you're... Your voice is just so melodic and hypnotic.
Aww.
It really is. I was actually admiring it the whole time. It kind of had me like, feel like you're a snake charmer. I'm just kind of like,
Well, thank you. And coming from you, that means a lot. So we actually, without Mark and I having discussed what we were going to talk about at the beginning, and him not having been on my and your conversation earlier, together we just touched upon so much of what you're about. As a coach and as a person out in the world, so you come from Estonia. Tell us just how small that is.
Well, it's interesting because at the time when I was born, Estonia was part of Soviet Union, so it was actually the largest country in the world at the time. But obviously, Estonians, we never considered ourselves Soviets. Obviously, we were invaded and. In 1945 and got our freedom back in 1991. I had moved to Finland in 87. So I lived in Estonia for 10 years and 7 years in Finland. And then I came to the States in 94. But yeah, it was, you know, it was a really interesting experience. It's hard to describe. But, you know, it's like living in a giant prison. As a child, I didn't really know much about it, except when you were trying to leave it, you couldn't get out. And Estonians were certainly very much bullied by the Russians, you know. And KGB and all that stuff, it was crazy. And then going to Finland and coming back, it was a huge ordeal always, and a huge culture shock. But interestingly, the first time I actually ever felt like I had come home was the first time I ever got to the States. And it was the oddest, strangest feeling, but there I had it. And I've had it ever since.
Wow. Mm. Well, I'm glad you feel that way, and I'm glad you're here. I know you're doing a lot of good work, obviously, on television and in film, but you're also doing a lot of good work starting to work more and more with actors and helping them through certain processes. But how one gets to the point that one can help means that usually the good ones have gone through a lot of stuff themselves. So one of the things that Mark touched on earlier was having all of a sudden all this attention bestowed upon you. What was that like?
Yeah, that was.
Oh, come on. Part of it must have been good.
No. Yeah, absolutely. It was really odd because growing up in Finland, you know, you're just kind of like everybody else. I remember when I came to the States, I was 16, came to visit my dad, and suddenly people were going like, oh my, you're so good looking and you're so handsome. And I'd grown up an ugly duckling, literally. I was just this awkward teenager, and suddenly, you know, people were giving me these compliments. And anyway, I went back to Finland, came back again when I was 17, and ended up staying and got into modeling. And I was still to this day, it's weird to me that people think I'm good looking. It is. It's weird. But I'm so glad for that opportunity. And that.
Wait, what's the weird thing?
It's just weird that people think that you're, you know, better looking than them. It's odd. I don't see that when I look in the mirror. I just see me. Mm. Yeah, you know, when you start getting paid for something like that, it was odd. And I think for me, my ego certainly got inflated for a while. Just because you start thinking, oh, well, this is great. This is the way it's supposed to be. And you're not prepared for it, like Mark said. You don't know how to handle it. I was 17. Mm. You know, I didn't know how to handle suddenly being, you know, I'm shooting Versace and Valentino and doing, you know, Calvin Klein shows and this and that and third and fifth and flying all over the world. And it definitely is a, you know.
Wait, in underwear?
Some of the time, certainly. But, you know, at 17, I kind of looked like a girl still. So I didn't spend a lot of time in my underwear.
Right.
No, I should show you some pictures. I was very androgynous, believe it or not. No, clearly I'm not. I'm so not manly. I have, like, hair on my arms now and chest.
And all over your face.
That's true. I do.
So it was
no one prepares you for that. And so I have a lot of compassion for people who, especially at a younger age, whether you're a model, you know, some girls start at 13, 14, or, you know, the Justin Biebers of the world, or like, you know, it's like you get all this fame thrown at you and people are afraid of you because you have all this power all of a sudden and they want to be your friend. They you know, they're just saying yes and yes and yes. And so you have no real mirrors for you and you have no tools to know how to deal with this.
The saying yes is the yes people in your life.
Yeah. Because then that's what you want to hear. So you're going to go with those people instead of the people that are going to go, hey, man, you know, and you're like, what do you know? You know, so you spend a lot of time in the knowing versus being in the learning. You're in the knowing because that's your ego wants to prop that up, right? Prop it up. And everything else becomes a threat. For me, I've been really fortunate because I've had these sort of ups and downs where I've been very successful and then it slowed down and, you know, and I've had a lot of time to reflect.
Yeah, actually, you're about to go into a really great subject that I did want to touch on. Mm-hmm. Since we're coming up on a break, that's where we'll start off when we come back is the ups and downs, because you said, I've been really fortunate to have the ups and downs. We're going to find out exactly what that means, because who would say I've been fortunate to have a down? And we'll see why. You've said some great things around that subject that I'm sure you'll say again. And if you don't, I took notes. We'll be right back with our guest, Johan Irv, right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's the little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our guest is Johan Erb, who is an actor, a model, and who is talking to us today about authentic living, which in the old days, that's not the kind of thing you'd think you'd hear from an actor and a model. And so you'll find out a little more why that's important to us here on Life Changes. And a little later after that, we're going to hear from our friend Kira Kishnerova, who's going to be singing for us a beautiful chant and some of her original music. But before that, so Johan, before the break, you started to talk about how lucky you were to have ups and downs. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think that when we have our downs, so to say, really, you know, you could say that those really are the most important parts of the cycle, because that's when you get to reflect, that's when you get to, you know, be humble and to sort of reevaluate your life and look at why you got there and how you got there. You know, for me, in my life, I've had several of those sort of ups and downs, but really realizing that the downs are the ups, like I said, because it's a chance for you to expand and grow and make space. And for me, it took me, I think, a lot longer than it takes most people. It took me, you know, to the age, like 29, 30 is when I really started realizing that I'd spent most of my life walking around in this sort of false confidence of I'm this guy you can throw anything at. Like, you know, my nickname in high school was Iceman. Like, you could just throw anything at me, I would just be like, whatever, I don't care. On the inside, I was obviously like broken glass, but I would never show my feelings. Therefore, you know, and I also thought the feelings were kind of stupid, and especially vulnerability didn't make any sense, because you wouldn't be in charge, you wouldn't be powerful. And it wasn't until I was in this one acting class with my dear teacher, Sandy Marshall, and I saw this actor doing a repetition exercise just break down. He must have had the worst day of his life, and he was weeping. And he's this 300-pound, 6'5", you know, 6'6 guy. He's just weeping, but he wouldn't run away. And he just stayed there. And a light went off in my head. Literally, it was like a cartoon, like boom. And I was like, oh, my God, that is true courage. That is true strength. Being authentic. Being vulnerable. Wow. Being open. And ever since then, I've been on a path to really to be that try to be that person myself, and it's taken me away from being in the knowing to being in the learning, and opening myself up, and because of that, inviting all of these blessings into my life, and being able to help other people in that way as well, and just. I think so many of us have it backwards, you know.
I want to jump on that point for just a minute, because we talked about, you know, Filippo mentioned at the beginning of the show my recognition and our conversation about you being a nice guy, a nice person, you know, a great friend. But where you are beginning to take it is how I see you, and part of why I wanted to have this conversation, because nice, I have a lot of nice friends. I'm blessed that way. But there's a whole different level of nice when you're being nice to yourself, and then that is reflected back out. Mm. And I think that's what we're here to talk about in terms of authenticity, and that's where you're going with this. And I kind of wanted to drive that point home a bit, because it's so important.
Thank you.
So much so that I asked you if it was okay to talk about some of the downs, and you said, oh, yeah, absolutely, as if definitely that's important. Let's do that, where I don't know how many people in your position would say, let's talk about my down. So let's talk about your first big down, which was, you know, so here you are, you're young, phones are ringing, everybody's wanting to be your friend, and you're on this show, that show, all this stuff's happening, and then almost overnight, then all of a sudden, what happens? Phone stops ringing.
Right. Well, you know, my first sort of professional down happened in modeling. You know, I'd done like all the campaigns, and then I just had an attitude, because I was a really shy guy.
Originally,
mm-hmm. I still am a little bit. And so, like I said, I was really just, I would be very sarcastic.
I wish they could have seen that expression. Did you see that?
I sure am.
I sure am, actually.
He said shyly.
And you were sarcastic? Really?
I was very sarcastic. I still can be, but much, much less so than now. Much less so than then.
Defense mechanism, huh?
You know, I love that humor, but there's a time and place for it. Mm. If it comes out of needing to be right, which was my thing, it's not pretty.
So you had to be beautiful, handsome, wanted, and right, too.
Well, I think most of us want to be right in more than anything else. Mm. I think that's most of where, you know, most of the trouble comes from. We have this need to be right, because we think that the way that we see the world is how the world is. Mm. We don't realize that everybody has their own perspective, and so we just inherently seem to think we're right, or at least I did. the downs, you know, it really forced me to. You know, there's that saying, when you point a finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at yourself. Mm-hmm. And maybe even one pointing up or something.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I've got six
fingers. You know, like,
to work on that for a while.
So it's I really had to look at that. I had to look at myself. I actually really dug deeper, and I've always read a lot, and I started meditating when I was 14, and then I got into Kriya Yoga when I was 20, and I stopped drinking and smoking and partying, and really got on a spiritual path, which was really, really helpful. But it also, I was able to use it even as a crutch to still not to feel feelings. Mm-hmm. And so I needed the other sort of down, which was when I got divorced, and when business slowed down. And at the same time, I was going to therapy, and I was in this acting class that I told you about. So it took so many things for me and my ego and my personality to be able to have a look at myself. And I remember being in therapy, and my therapist working on me, and she's working on my jaw. And I started crying, because it was really painful. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I cried in years and years. And she goes, how do you feel right now? And I said, I feel weak, I feel stupid, and vulnerable. Mm. And she goes, those are the three things you're most afraid of being. And literally, again, it was like just a light went off in my head. And I realized, all my life, that's what I was afraid of. But life needed to put my face in it, like really in it from so many directions in order for me to take a look at it. And I wonder, like, if I didn't need so much sort of so much of a push from life, you know, maybe it would have been easier, or I didn't need to go through those things. I'm really happy that I had to, because, again, I have a lot of compassion for people who are in it or who are, you know, aren't there yet, or, and therefore I'm able to also, I feel, help people to see their stuff and be a good mirror for people and give them a lot of tools, because I've needed a lot of tools in my life in order to see myself and see my stuff.
You know, we're talking about your story in terms of being an actor and a model, and some of that shift and having it reflected back at you in the power and some of the things we said at the beginning of the show. I wanted to kind of cross it over for a minute to our whole listening audience, because it resonated for me at a level, and I realized, you know what, relative to each his own personal journey, this is, I think, what everybody goes through. Everybody, and within their story, is still that child or that young person that then gets thrust into some sort of a new place, whether it's their job, whether it's an actor, model, and the celebrity, whether it's, for me, I, you know, have a financial story and have worked on Wall Street, and I was retired, you know, by 29 and starting over a few years later. But I got the same type of a shift, and there was too much power and too much celebrity within that realm put on me, and I wasn't ready for it. And so then I think about, you know, so again, relative to each his story, but this is something I think that's super important for us to look at, because everybody has their version of this kind of juxtaposition of maybe things that haven't been seen or dealt with, and then yet not having the tools or the awareness to look at those in order to then be able to accept where it is they are in their journey and taking the next steps.
Absolutely. I think that I remember thinking when I was younger that only crazy people go to therapy, you know? And, you know, I'm still not 100%. You know, there's this great saying, I forget who said it. It might have been Ram Dass. You can only be as healthy as your therapist is, you know, or as liberated as your therapist is. So there's so many different ways of, you know, in the West, we're all about the sort of analytical way of going about it, you know, in the mind. But the mind is a loop from my perspective. And so I think nowadays we have access to much better tools, and we're really bringing in ancient stuff from, you know, India and China and Africa, or, you know, South America, whether it's medicines and ceremonies or just old ways of thinking, and then we're combining them with our, you know, current technology. And so it's an ever-evolving way. You know, again, it's like so many people come from, whether you're either a Jungian or you're, you know, who's the other guy?
Freudian.
Exactly. It's like you're one or the other. You know, you can't be, or you're this or that, or you're just New Age, or you're just this thing. But it's like each person is
someone in a box.
Yeah, you're, again, again, you're in the knowing. Instead of just using your intuition, which I think we all need to get in better touch with, and the tools that are that we've learned through experience, and should continue to always be in the learning for, and apply them in sort of in this free form, and not try to fit anybody into a box, because nobody is one. But yeah, I feel like we need to just change the whole system, the way that we go to school, the way that we're brought up, because none of us, I'm assuming, like, I didn't get any tools. I didn't get any financial tools. I didn't get any tools how to communicate. I didn't get any, you know, and that's like what kids should learn. Like, learn how to communicate. Learn how to be authentic. Learn how to be vulnerable. Learn how to speak your truth.
Yeah, learn who they
are. Well, we got tools. We just got the wrong ones, or different ones.
Well, we got the one that to conform and be like everybody else tools.
Oh, you got that one too.
Oh yeah.
When we come back, actually, let's talk more about tools. And actually, for fun, I'd like to talk about some of your favorite roles. You've done so many, and then I'd like to end with. The coaching. I think you're on to something with some of what you're doing there. So we'll direct people to our website at lifechangesnetwork.com. They can look up Johann Erb. And, well, actually, I'll spell the name J-O-H-A-N-N-U-R-B. And then there is his IMDb link there. And is also his email address for those who would be interested in coaching with him. So when we come back, we're going to be talking to Johann more about all that and more right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. This is a great conversation, and I can't believe it. We the way it worked out, where Kira was able to be our musical guest today, with Johann being our guest. The two had never met, but with Kira being from the Ukraine and from the Soviet Union, and you from Estonia and the Soviet Union at one point, this is a really interesting and magical moment, because later on she's going to be chanting as well as sharing with us some of her own music. And I think there's a healing energy that's coming to so much of what we've been talking about. We've also been talking about tools. We're going to talk about more of that in a minute, but come on. I mean, with NCSI and CSI and Strictly Sexual, with, you know, with Zoolander, what are, just real quickly, just for fun, some of the favorite roles that come to mind, for what reason?
First of all, before that, I'd like to say that my heart really goes out to the people in Ukraine. You know, it's such a tragedy and so crazy. And I've been definitely holding the Ukrainian people in my heart. And I hope that, you know, the peace keeps, and that they can be brothers again, you know. Roles, okay. My favorite roles, you know, my whole journey as an actor is still unfolding, and it's been such a necessary, I had such a struggle at one point, I was going to go and devote my life to yoga and God and just practice. That was, ever since I was little, that was sort of my plan. And then acting happened, and so I had this conflict between becoming essentially a yogi and a monk, or being an actor. And it took me years to understand that it's the same path.
I was hoping you would go there.
Yeah, and it's it's exactly, it's brought me so much. I was so afraid of the dark before, and acting really allowed me to see that in order, you have all this light. You need to be able to go into the dark and be in the balance, be the yin and yang of it. And what better way to explore everything dark than acting?
And what better way to bring light into the dark?
Yeah.
Than to be you there.
Yeah. Yeah. So favorite roles, you know, every role, I mean, I would, like, there are certain roles I've just had more fun on than anything else. And Californication, obviously, is one of the recent ones that was just so crazy and silly. And those guys is so much fun to work with. And, you know, another show I just recently did, NCIS, such a stellar, stellar cast and crew and such great people. And
there's some,
you know,
good people in Hollywood.
You know, I've been so fortunate that I've never actually worked with anyone that's not been nice to me. I've heard horror stories about people. You know, people before going to work with certain people whose names I won't name, oh my God, it's going to be awful. It's been an incredible experience. So in my experience, I think, again, a lot of it, what people reflect back is what you bring
you,
yourself.
Sure.
You know, and how you, if you come to people sort of from a place of you being inferior in some way and being scared versus just being authentically who you are and being kind and being loving and being yourself. Maybe that's not who you are, but be who you are, because then everybody can relax. And when people are relaxed, then you can communicate and have a good time. But to go back to those roles, you know, 2012 was a lot of fun too. Because I played a Russian pilot, and I love doing my Russian accent, and it's super fun. And
he knows that well.
Yeah, yeah, especially with the ladies. And it was my girlfriend loves it. So, anyway,
so that's also on your voicemail box for.
Oh, that's also. Right. Yeah, I do. I have all my life. I don't think I've ever had a straight up like, hi, this is Johan Erb, leave a message. It's always something crazy because it's so boring. You know, it's like, just do something different. Be a little creative.
You were a surfer dude once. What was that like?
Yeah, that was the first time I was working with John Cusack. It's a funny story, actually, because it was a small role in 1408. And I actually didn't act with John Cusack. I acted with the camera. Yeah, it was interesting. But then I did, you know, a couple of years later, I did 2012 with him, and he was a super nice guy, great to work with as well.
What did you sound like?
What did he sound like?
What did you sound like?
Hey, dude. I don't know.
I'm putting you on the spot, but good for you.
Hey, bro, you okay, man? No, that was a different movie. Gnarly, bro. Whoa!
Oh, look at his face.
Just shape-shifted into a surfer dude.
Yeah, you'll have to do that face for the pictures later, so we can
totally, bro. Yeah, brutal.
All right. Well, unless there are any Entourage. I mean, what do you want to mention?
Oh, Entourage was a blast. I have a kind of a bad memory, so you might have to read some of them for me.
Was that actually filmed in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
And actually the guys, you know, the cast, they said to me, I don't think it had anything to do with me, but it was one of their favorite episodes because they got to go to Vegas, I'm sure. And it was just a crazy, fun episode. And, you know, those guys are just so cool. And, you know, what a great job.
Fun. Well, yeah. You're obviously having fun doing this, and you obviously bring a certain energy to every role that you do, and including you do voiceovers, so you did a Family Guy voice.
Yeah. That was fun.
So what are some of the tools that you have learned that you wish could have been learned in school? Because this is a point that we've talked about a lot ourselves. Some of these things that we're learning through our lives that we now give through either life coaching or you through your coaching or, you know, the public speaking or whatever, could have been learned as kids, and we would have been so far above where we all are now as a civilization, I think. But so what are some of the tools that you have learned that you think could be learned in schools, but that you're helping teach people in your coaching work, one-on-ones?
I think the most important one is how to be authentic and how to communicate. you know, how to listen, mm. how to be compassionate, how to be able to put yourself in somebody else's body, mm. To feel what they're feeling, mm. to understand what they're going through. I feel that if I knew how to communicate at a younger age, I would have saved so much pain and mm. angst and misunderstandings. And, you know, like, you could not get me to apologize, for example. Even if I knew I was wrong, mm. I would just fight it and fight it and fight it and fight it. And I'd find a way to twist it because I needed to be right. Mm. Because, again, it's just... So I think that...
It'd be weakness if you...
Weakness, mm-hmm. exactly.
And the fear that comes with, well, if I'm weak, then yeah. someone's going to overpower me or...
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing I think would be really important, too, is just finances. You know, understanding that is so important. What else?
Just because somebody makes more money... Because some of the celebrities that start making more money, or like Mark said about in business, how started to make more money and all that. If you don't know how to use it, it's mm. worse than if you didn't have it to begin with. Mm. In some cases,
I knew how to use it.
Oh, you knew how to. Well, that's not what I meant. Well, like the people that win the lottery, most of the people that win the lottery end up being worse off a couple of years later than they were before they had it. They won it. So finance is a good one.
And then also I think another really important thing is volunteering, selfish service. I think that we learn so much when we work with people that are less fortunate than us in some way. Mm. You know, it could also be, you know, people that are just older or disabled or however, or it could be kids, you know, mm. when you're older. But I have found so much... joy in my life, and I brought so much joy into my friends' lives. A couple of years ago, I started volunteering with this organization called the Greater West Hollywood Food Coalition, mm. and we serve hot meals to homeless people every day. And when I say we, I say the organization. I'm not there every day, but you know, I just went every Friday, and then I got some of my friends to come, and now I have, you know, probably got like close to 20, 30, maybe even more people to come, you know, not all the time, but people come through, and then it becomes mm-hmm. a part of your life. And you realize how important community is, and how we're all the same, and mm-hmm. How much we can cheer each other up, and how these people that you're afraid of on the street suddenly become your friends. And you just understand that we all need each other. Mm-hmm. We all benefit each other. Let's be good to each other. Let's be kind to each other. Mm. Let's take care of each other. You know, community is really, the power of community is another thing that I really should be taught in school. I think we used to have it when we needed each other more, you know, when we used to live in villages and mm-hmm. and tribes and so forth. But now this, like, everybody has their own thing. And, you know, it's like, borrow something from your neighbor or, you know, let your neighbor borrow your stuff like offer it up.
Yes.
Whatever it is, whether it's help, whether it's, you know, a tool or whatever, your house, like, help people out.
A lawnmower.
Yeah. It just feels good to give. It feels good to share. You know, I read this quote the other day that said, I hope I'm not going to butcher it, but it's basically your life's purpose is to figure out what you're good at and then do it and then share it or like give it away.
Yeah.
You know, it feels so good to do that. It's so gratifying. And the universe somehow it's designed in a way that it just pours blessings onto you even more, in my experience. So,
Real quickly, we didn't get to talk about this, but you did mention food and something else that you thought was important.
Yeah, you know, I've eaten really, really well first of all...
And when you say well, you don't mean like caviar every night. You don't mean that kind of well.
Well, not every night. But you know what's interesting? Growing up in Estonia, in Soviet Union, one of the things that I'm looking back was actually great was that we were basically macrobiotic, which means everything was local, everything was seasonal. Mm. Nothing was imported. We didn't have bananas. We didn't have strawberries in the winter. We didn't have any chemicals. We didn't have any pesticides. Everything went bad right away. Like if you brought stuff home, you didn't eat it. There it goes.
And you probably shared it, right?
Absolutely.
With your neighbors because it was going to go bad anyway and they didn't.
Well, yeah. And one of the cool things about it, I guess, I'm not going to even say that. Communism was messed up. But we did have to share a lot more stuff. The system was broken. Ideal at some point was probably great. The system did not work.
Mm. What we need is communityism.
Yeah. Community works. Mm. Communism, whenever it becomes an ism, you know, it's a little scary.
So the food
was really, really healthy, and people were really, really healthy. When I moved to Finland when I was 10, all the kids had like allergies and you know, stuff going on. And so I'd like to say that I've, for the past 16, 17, almost 20 years now, I've eaten really, really consciously. Mm. I've had
good word
moments where I've been a vegan, I've been raw, you know. I eat meat again now, but most of it is wild. You know, it's all of it is organic. And I guess I'm paleo, you know, mostly. It was so important because people get so, we get so numb and so sick when we eat unconsciously. And then because we're not getting the nutrients, we overeat. And then we, you know, with all the GMOs and the additives and the colors and the preservatives and so on and so on and so on, we literally make ourselves sick. It's really, really sad. And, you know, it's become a business. It's such a big business. The pharma, it's really mind-blowing.
You know what's not sad is that you didn't go into becoming a cloistered monk. And I wish you as much fame as you want, because I just know that the more famous you get, the more these concepts will become famous and the more people will be able to look upon a famous person and say, wow, what a nice guy, what a guy that lives authentically and can help them want to be more like you, famous person, as opposed to some of the other famous people.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm humbled. Thank you. I don't know what to say.
Thank you. And though I enjoy doing these shows all the time, otherwise, why do it? But this has been special fun. Mm. This has been special fun. And I was thinking, Mark, you know, we're putting this, we've done it for a while, but now we have, we're taking the improv workshops to the next level. He would be great as a special guest in one of those.
Absolutely.
So we're going to have to talk.
More
sure.
fun to be had.
More fun to be had. This has been Johan Erb. I haven't been anything. Our guest has been Johan Erb. I've been Filippo, actually. And Mark?
And I've been Mark.
And you guys do it marvelously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right back at you. And when we come back, we are going to have Kira Kishnarova with us right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back, and our musical guest is Kira Kushnirova, our friend from here is where we met, but she herself is from the Ukraine, Russia. First of all, what a beautiful pleasure to have you here.
Good evening, Shalipa. My heart is filled with joy. Oh. Thank you for having me in your Soviet evening.
Yes, exactly.
So, within your Soviet evening.
Isn't that beautiful how that happened? What a quote-unquote coincidence.
Yes, yes.
And when we first met a little over exactly 7 years ago, so happy 7th anniversary.
Yes, beautiful number.
This month, 7 years ago, we weren't doing this. And you weren't singing. What you I can't imagine you weren't using your voice until, 5 years ago?
Yes, you're right. And actually now I cannot imagine that I wasn't singing or playing or writing music. However, it's a true story. I did not discover the beauty and power of my voice, this way to express myself, until 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. When I met you, it was just I was entering into a world of medicine, prayers, ceremonial rituals. My first moon ceremonies was actually at your home. You and Dorothy, and you were my Reiki teacher at that time.
Yes.
So thank you.
Very
special.
You're
a big part of that.
Well, it's beautiful to see what's become of that. And now, as a matter of fact, you're going to start with a prayer, is it?
Yes, it's a prayer to a Divine Mother. To Mother Durga, it's her name in Hindu, May.
Okay, well, we're ready to pray. Here's Kira Kushnirova.
Jaya, jaya Durga. Jaya, jaya Bhavani Jaya Yogini Kali Kapalini Jaya Jaya Durga Jaya Jaya Durga Mata Bhavani Jaya Yogini Kali
Talk about hypnotic. That was beautiful. Thank you, Kira. Beautiful prayer by Kira Kushnirova. You can go to KiraKushnirova.com to hear more of her music at KiraKushnirova.com. Or you can always go to LifeChangesNetwork.com and click on this beautiful show with Johan Erb and Kira Kushnirova and hear all of this all over again. And much like Johan was saying about the tools of bringing the ancient tools combined with our modern-day culture, etc., that is an ancient prayer that wasn't part of your culture that you grew up with that is also new to you, right?
Yes, and I believe this prayer comes from the times where humanity celebrated oneness. It was one ancient language. It was not separation into different religions or skin tones. Mm. There was a prayer, a cosmic attunement to the sound within the planetary realms. Mm. Every interval in this prayer is tuned to the planetary tone. So when I sing, I think of it as a prayer rather than being perfectly tuned and perfect fifth or perfect fourth. So thank you, first of all, for letting me do that.
That
I know
special.
It's very
thank
different
you.
From a Western music. Mm. So, and I do believe now where we are within evolution, our minds are ready to receive new teachings from within ourselves. So we're not necessarily looking any longer back into gurus or studies or group teachings. We are tuning in into wisdom within. And how do we combine these ancient traditions? How do we respect our ancestors? How do we respect our mothers and fathers for their religion, for their beliefs? And yet listening to our hearts, to God within, how do we pray in a way when it's not offended anyone else? I'm obsessed with the art of prayers. I don't consider myself a singer. I just pray through my music.
And in fact, you've written some original music that people can hear at your website, Kira Kushnirova, but you're going to be playing some of it, well, a piece tonight.
Yes.
And what are we going to hear? Does it have a name?
Yes. this piece called In Between.
In Between.
Yes.
Okay.
It's actually a combination of also one of the ancient prayers in Sanskrit and my poetry.
Nice. Well, I can't wait to hear it. And is this on a CD yet?
This song been recorded. It hasn't been released yet.
Oh,
it's
great.
It's not in my last CD.
People get to hear it first here on Life Changeness. Life Changeness. Listen to me. At least it's not an ism. Here is Kira. I'm in a different place right now. Excuse me. But between the music and the beauty in the room, Kira Kushnirova with In Between.
Yes.
Somewhere in between.
Kira Kushnirova. I'm somewhere right now in between Midnight Blue and Emerald Green myself. Thank you for discovering your voice and for sharing it here for all of us and for all who are blessed to hear it. It felt like a prayer indeed. It's been a pleasure having you here.
You're very welcome, and thank you. It was such a joy and pleasure to be here with all of you.
We look forward to your CD coming out, and of course you can learn more about that if you go to lifechangesnetwork.com and click on the link for tonight's show. You can hear that beautiful music again, and then you can find out at Kira Kushnirova how to get the other songs that are forthcoming. With that, it's been a beautiful day here at Life Changes with our guests Johan Erb and Kira Kushnirova, and a beautiful day to all of you. I'm Filippo Voltaggio reminding you, as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.